see here. There we go. The Electronic Age. You probably thought that I was playing the version of Shannon Wexelberg where she gets a frog in her throat, but I don't think that was the case. Okay. I've had a topic that has been running through in my mind for the last couple of weeks, and things that occurred really fortified that. I'd like to start out with this verse in Psalms, Psalms 14 and verse 1, and this will lead us into the topic of the sermon today. In Psalms 14 and verse 1, if you'll read along with me, this is also in Psalms 53 and verse 1, and so God does really fortify this in the Bible. And in this, it is said, the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. You know, one thing that is very sad today is the belief that there is no God. No God. When a person thinks that there is no God, this Bible really becomes irrelevant when they've come to that point. It is merely a book written by man and his imaginations of God. Most people that don't believe in a God address the Bible in that way. A person who does not believe in God will not be drawn to that Bible to prove that he exists. That person must first see a proof of God in other areas of his life. About a week ago, I had someone say, well, we can't go to anything other than the Bible to prove that God exists. But I'll take issue with that, and we'll go through some of this today. Is it rational to believe in God? Can you think through it and understand that God exists? That he is here today? That he has created, him and his son, all that we see. Can we see some relevance in this physical creation to draw a person to God and his word? Let's look at Romans 1 and verse 20. I think this will really describe it and tell us that yes, we can go to things in this physical creation to say, yes, there is a God. Romans 1 and verse 20. And I believe this proves it and substantiates it. And you would have to realize and understand that not everyone has had the Bible in their life, have they? But they did have instructions from God. But we see here in Romans 1 and verse 20, for the invisible things of him, or God the Father, from the creation of the world are clearly seen. How are they clearly seen? Being understood by the things that are made. The physical. God can be seen in the physical. Yes, we can prove that God exists and not even pick up this book. It's not that the Bible doesn't fortify that God exists. Yes, it does. But if we're going to have a starting point, there has to be some rationale in the mind of people to understand that God exists. In understanding this, it's a beginning point for all knowledge and understanding. I would like to look at some physical examples that show that God does exist. It seems kind of basic, but in some of the conversations I've listened to, and in some of the things that I've heard over the last couple weeks, some of our children and people that once sat here with us no longer believe that God exists. You know, that's rather startling and sometimes a little disheartening when we hear that. And so I want to delve into this. The instructions from our educational system, our entertainment, our news media, our political system, point to people to a postmodernism. Mr. Kortheis told us about this a couple weeks ago in a sermon that he gave on honor. And I believe that this actually kind of started me on this thought about God. Does God exist? Many of our children have come to believe that there is no God. And sometimes they've sat here right with us, had their Bible in their lap, sat there with us, and we thought that they were understanding that God exists, but yet they didn't really take it in and understand it thoroughly. This is one of the greatest demises in the history of mankind, to say that there is no God, that he doesn't exist. Either God exists or we have to believe in what? The evolutionary theory. Because these are the only two things that society offers us that we can see. Evolution is the making of the creation without a creator, without God, having him out of the picture. Now, this premise was first developed in 1927 by a Belgian priest. You know, ironically, here's a Belgian priest is giving this idea that supports this premise. He was a physicist and an astronomer, and his name was Georges Lemaître. Georges Lemaître, if you'd like to look up some information on him later, his last name is spelled L-E-M-A-I-T-R-E. Anyway, his theory proposed that the universe came from one single source, just one single source. He called his theory the hypothesis of the primeval atom. Seems kind of archaic. We probably haven't heard of this much. But this later came to be known as the Big Bang Theory. One of the problems with the Big Bang Theory is that it always begins with an incredible amount of matter contained in a very small space. This space, or place, even more highly condensed than we find in any of the super black holes that are in our universe. It cannot be described by our current laws of physics. It seems to be just something that doesn't work well. Am I coming across all okay on the microphone? It sounded a little off, and I just wanted to make sure. So anyway, with this Big Bang Theory, can't be understood completely by physics, but we know that then suddenly, for unknown reasons, all matter that exists in the universe explodes out of this space. And here's how I'd kind of like to bring it down to something we can understand. Let's think of this room as the universe. All that is physical. Basically, the universe comprises all that is physical. Anything outside of it is not physical. We want to look at this and see what happens in this space. We want to consider what transpired, how they look at this in the Big Bang Theory. In the Big Bang Theory, they think that some outside force or light came upon this mass that was comprised in a localized area. And if you think of this universe, this room being the universe, this would be the space where it's at. And some outside energy came into being. Physics can't Physicists can't explain this, but when this happened, something suddenly occurred. It was probably a little bigger bang than that, but we'll get the point across. A sudden burst of energy. This moment in time is sometimes described as an initial awkward moment. This was rather awkward. I thought it'd be louder than this. I had already prepared the sound crew for something that'd be a little more explosive. But it was an initial awkward moment. This gentleman called it. This is because it cannot be justified in scientific terms. So in evolutionary terms, an explosion occurred. Heat was generated from this explosion. You might think of it as an explosion of what you experienced on the 4th of July. If you saw some fireworks, my wife and I were back in the Tennessee area, and my son had quite an array of fireworks. So I can realize that a burst of energy in relationship to my son, what occurred on his property, is what can occur to cause this explosion. And this explosion would spread this matter throughout this whole room, or we might say the universe. As things began to cool from this explosion, and every explosion will cause some heat, elementary particles are formed, shifting into galaxies and stars within. The problem is, evolution starts out with all of this mass already there. They can't explain where it came from. They can only explain the explosion that has occurred. Now, one law that they use in explaining some of what has happened is called the law of conservation of energy. And there's really some big holes in this. I want to go through and read some of what is described about the law of conservation of energy. By many experiments, this law is found to always work and be in existence. It is a physical principle and stays within our universe, we might say, in this room. If you can imagine, this matter now is dispersing by this huge explosion I had. And is dispersed throughout this universe. The problem is, as I said, where did all this mass come from? By many experiments, this law is found to always work and be in existence, so scientists said, and it is a physical principle in our universe, a closed environment. The law states that mass in a particular frame of reference will remain constant. There are some changes about this principle that we'll go into. This means that nothing from outside of this room, if this is our universe, can change. Nothing can come into this space, and nothing can go outside of it. Basically, this is false. If we understand that a creator brought energy into this environment from outside of it to cause the creation. The amount of matter in the area, so we're told, this universe that we have, will remain constant. But it's interesting, in 1917, Edward Hubble came up with some calculations and experiments that showed that, whoa, things are not constant. We thought with this explosion that happened, everything cooled, and what's here is here. Nothing more is going to expand or grow. But Edward Hubble discovered that space is expanding. Matter is being created in the outward realm of our universe. And when that happens, it falls back to be stars and galaxies and so forth. Interesting that Edward Hubble lived at the same time frame, basically, of George Lemaître. And some of their concepts are very close to one another. Edward Hubble discovered that new stars are being created kind of goes against the law of the conservation of energy, doesn't it? Nothing new being created. So, this brings us to Einstein. You know, if Einstein could have lived further, there would have probably been some pretty revelatory things about the creation. Einstein showed us that matter and energy are the same things in different forms. Matter can be converted to energy. Energy can, be converted into mass. You may think of it kind of like water. It can be a vapor. It can be frozen. It can be liquid. That formula equals mc squared. Energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. We readily see why the Big Bang Theory is thought to be the only reasonable way that matter and energy could have been created. I think we could apply what God has done is somewhat of a Big Bang Theory, but with his hand in it from an outside energy force. A huge explosion from energy on this mass at the speed of light formed all that we have in our universe. Very possible, but not on its own, but it was by an outside force of God. But we have no way of determining where the matter came from in the first place. Sometimes a theory is given that matter and energy always existed, but this goes against the law of conservation of energy, that all energy in a closed system will remain constant. God is not constant. He's always creating, always making, and making things. And so Hubble discovered, and by the Hubble telescope, we are seeing that things are continually being created in our universe. Where did the sudden burst of energy come from to cause the Big Bang? Somehow a vast amount of energy would have to be injected from outside of this room that we would call the universe, to cause all matter to be scattered throughout. Things do not remain constant. New mass is being created continually. All of the Big Bang theory is used to show how life came into existence. Without God. Without God in the picture, a creator. When I was a young boy in high school, I think back on the small class that I was in that little Midwestern town in Minnesota, and all of my classmates, I can't think of one that didn't believe in God. We all went to church, various churches. But we all believed in God. I don't remember anyone that spoke up and said, there is no God. How about you today? Do you truly believe that God exists? Especially our young people and youth. Because it is sad when they don't understand that God exists. Do you believe that this earth came together and produced life without God? Think about this. Or even produce matter without God? There's two scenarios here, isn't there? Matter first, life that came from it. Let's think about this in a rational way, and I think that's how we need to address it today. It's not that I won't use the Bible, but I want us to rationalize and understand that God does exist. Just because your parents have told you that God exists, do each of you individually truly believe, and have you proven that God exists? I could start out by reading the Bible, but if you have already determined in your mind that the creation without a God works, then the Bible, as I said earlier, is not relevant and usable at this point. So let's look at some rational ways. Let's look at some common sense proofs that show that there is a God and that He created the heavens and the earth. When I look at these, and this is kind of a review of what I've looked over in the past, I cannot deny that God does exist. His fingerprints are all over the creation. His hand is there. Let's go over some of these things that show that God does exist. And I'm hoping that each and every one that is here today, whether it is the elderly, the young people, or whatever, will truly be convicted that God does exist. First of all, in 1864, Louis Pasteur finally announced the results of his scientific experiments. How significant was this? He stated that life does not arise in areas that have not been contaminated by existing life. In other words, life can only come from pre-existing life. A principle, a law that is here on this earth where we exist. So let's start out on this first proof. Life cannot come from dead matter. Now, for anyone that does not believe in God, I want you to see if you can find that life can come from dead matter. Can you find it? Look for it. See if that is true. Life demands an outside source to start the creation. It needs that kickstart, doesn't it? We can't just have dirt and nothing to start or kickstart life. It demands a creator because the physical laws of this earth will never allow a source from within the earth to begin life. I wrote down what Mr. Dominguez said. What was that here? There was something really significant where he was talking about where God goes, His law goes. And so, where God goes, life will be because He creates it. In looking at mankind, nothing is greater than us, is there? Than a human being? Nothing. No aliens, no nothing like that. We are the epitome of what God has created, what He has made. Nothing is greater than mankind, God's creation. The human mind can know, it can think, it can reason, it can plan and carry out those plans to completion, it can invent and produce instruments by which it may acquire knowledge of the vast universe or the minutest, the smallest particle. It's amazing, the creation of a human being. You yourself, as you sit here, amazing, phenomenal. One thing that man has never been able to do and probably never will is create something superior to himself, or hisself, more properly said. With this in mind, we know that nothing that is inferior to us can create us. It's a principle. Nothing inferior to us can create us. But this is what evolution believes. Something like dirt or swamp water could create life. I don't want to think that I came from that. And the laws that God has established do not allow it. Let's see here. It is virtually impossible by the law of biogenesis, life comes from life. Now, if we wanted to create something and say we wanted to see how this evolutionary theory works, I want to make a watch. Now, let's start with what evolution does. They've got all the dirt. They've got it in the universe. So they believe that there's just some big bang, this moved around, you know, for quite a while. I'd say we could shake all these parts of this watch together for quite a while. I don't see anything coming together by itself. But yet evolution believes that. Here's a watch that's all put together. It was my grandfather's watch, and I treasure it. I wind it every now and then. Keeps pretty decent time. It's amazing, all of the parts that are put together in this watch. It didn't come together by itself. It didn't happen that way. And looking at this watch and all of its precise workings, I can take the back off, I can take the face off, you know, and do some adjustments on it. Do you think this watch just came together by itself? By happenstance, would all these parts come together to produce this beautiful watch? Evolution says that you came together that way. If I told you that this watch just came together by itself, it just happened by an explosion. The iron ores just brought themselves together that make up the case of this watch. They just refined themselves, formed and shaped themselves into delicate little cogs and wheels and springs that are all inside of this watch. You probably say I'm crazy. And of course, that didn't happen. The silicon didn't just come together by itself out of the earth to make the face of my grandfather's watch. And it didn't just turn itself into that crystal face on that watch. The gold case didn't just refine itself and come out of the earth. All of the cogs and wheels and many other little parts that are in there didn't just assemble themselves by some explosion and started itself up to operate and run in a very accurate mode. Impossible. Impossible. We know by looking at this watch right here that a watchmaker had to make this, had to invent this, thought of all of the mechanisms that are involved in it, planned it out, formed it out, shaped those parts, put them together, made them function and work, and started it running. Running in a very accurate way. This watch demands a creator, a watchmaker we call it, but it demands a creator. The earth is more complex than this watch. It demands a creator. You, each and every one of you that are sitting here, are even more complex than this watch that I showed you. You demand a creator. All the systems that function within you. The earth and you demand an outside force, one that is greater than us, above us, that made all of this. The creator says that in himself is life. John 1:4. He started up that life within us. He was the creator, if you will, the watchmaker. Let's go on to the second point here. In a proof that God does exist, it's the miracle of living food. We could say, okay, there's an explosion that happened, mankind came together, life is here, but we've got a problem here. We need food, and we need it quick. even having a human being created, it must have a way of sustaining itself or else it would die. It wouldn't continue to exist. Mankind demands food, especially growing children, don't they? They demand food. They need water. They need air to survive all of these elements. Otherwise, this Big Bang Theory would just diminish and go away. Your car, your dad's car, needs gas in it. Needs to be filled up so it'll operate and run. You need this also in your life to survive. No man with his ingenuity and science can create food. I first thought, oh, man could make something. But really, when you get down to it, man cannot scientifically create food. Can he start with nothing? No, he can't. All food requires seeds to produce. We can grow vegetables, but we cannot create the seed that produces the food. Man without living food will die, will not continue to exist. Man without air will die. Man without water can never survive very long, so mankind requires that he take in the elements that are compatible to sustain himself. So, we've just come on the scene. We're alive. We need some food. How about a bolt to eat? Can we eat this? We can't. But God has devised a way where you can get the minerals that are in iron to cause you to live and survive. Mankind requires that he take in elements that are compatible to sustaining himself. So God has created plants. It takes this inorganic bolt that I just showed you and turns it into something organic that you can take into your body and sustain you. We need those minerals. And the plants were created so that we can exist. We can live. It takes a creator to plan out and start the process of an earth that will produce sustaining food. We need sustaining food. When Henry Ford made his first car, he's looking for some energy source. He first devised alcohol to run his engine, his internal combustion engine. Later, he was advised that this waste product that was being thrown away and spewed all over the earth, gasoline, would be something that would be better to use. And so he converted the internal engine from burning alcohol to burning gasoline. His engine needs that type of food to sustain itself. Not only did a creator make food, but within the food is a seed that will allow that same food to reproduce itself. Uncanny, isn't it, how it's been made? The seed from sustainable food can be planted into the ground, sprout, reproduce itself. This all takes place in all of our grains, our vegetables, and fruits. Man, in all of his intelligence, all that he does cannot take dirt and make food to eat. Can't do it by itself. Seeds of various forms that a creator has made will produce the food that man needs to sustain his physical life. A proof of a creator. Now mankind, with his intelligence, tampers with the food that God has given him. He pollutes it. He perverts it. He defiles it. And the perfect creation of sustainable food that we have. So we have to be careful. The land today is depleted with the same crops grown on it year after year. I drive out in the countryside, the same grains year after year many times are planted on the ground over and over again. One of the principles that my dad told me is we need to rotate the crop so we can put things back in the soil that we took out with that particular crop. Not only that, mankind is using artificial fertilizers that have been added to our land to produce inferior crops. Many of our crops are lacking the nutrients that they should have. The wisdom of man has not been greater than the wisdom of a creator who gave us the miracle of food and what to eat and how to take care of it. And in the Old Testament, he shows us these things, doesn't he? What to eat, what not to eat, how to take care of your land, how to get rid of waste products from your body, all of these things. We can't help but think about whose intelligence is greater. Is it man or is it God? Obviously, it's God. Let's go on to a third point. Life demands the existence of laws. Life demands that. And it is a proof that God does exist. He lives by that. Man needs sustainable food. We saw that earlier. And we also saw, as Mr. Dominguez said, where God goes, his law goes. So life demands the existence of laws. Man has discovered over time that there are laws that govern our universe. Those laws include that gravitational pull on this earth. Gravity, a wonderful thing for us to have on this earth. We drop a ball, it's drawn to this earth. A law that God has put in existence. Galileo, in 1589, published a paper stating that solid objects of different weights will fall at the same speed. Now, that didn't seem rational at the time. In his experiment, Galileo dropped two balls of different masses, different weights, from that Leaning Tower of Pisa to demonstrate that their time of descent was independent of their mass. The weight didn't make any difference. Both objects fell at the same acceleration, disproving what had been previously thought by Aristotle. Aristotle thought, and he had a theory about gravity, which states that objects fall at speed relative to their mass. In other words, a heavier object would fall faster than a lighter object. That was disproved by Galileo. I bumped into this while I was looking for some information. But in 1971, and you may look there on the internet to see this, this same law was proven on the moon by astronaut David Scott. Quite phenomenal. On the moon, David Scott dropped a hammer. And beside him, in his other hand, he dropped a feather from the same height at the same time. Both objects on the moon fell at the same speed and hit the ground on the moon simultaneously. Gravity has been put in effect to govern our universe and help keep all of the stars and planets in their orbit so they'll continue to stay in their place. It keeps us anchored to the earth and is a necessary part of God's law. Sabbath services wouldn't be quite as interesting, would it, if you'd start floating out of your seat and go to the ceiling? It's good that God has put that gravitational law there into effect. Other laws that exist, there'd be too many to mention, but every planet has a near-round shape. There are laws that define that this must happen. There are laws of matter, force, and energy that God has put into place. These could not have evolved. There's too many of them for this to all function together. The earth is sustained by four forces that mankind has found: gravity, the electromagnetic force, the weak nuclear force, and the strong nuclear force. All of these comprise the system that is here. All of these laws are working in harmony and demand a lawgiver. There's too many of them. for it to just have been a happenstance. These laws sustain life, a creator, a God. The laws of our universe demand a lawgiver. The more you check into the laws of God, look into it, you will see God's fingerprint here, there, and everywhere in the universe. Let's go on to point number four. Matter proves God's existence. Now, evolution likes to start with that already being in place. But I went back and looked at an old booklet that we had written years ago. Mr. Armstrong had put together. And in here, he brought out about a particular matter, talked about it, and that was the special element of uranium. Uranium proves that God exists. There are several radiating elements on this earth, but uranium is very unique. Madame Curie found that out in the early 1900s or 1890s. She didn't realize what she was handling and fooling with. In fact, some of her papers now will never be able to be touched for hundreds of years, maybe 1500, 1600 years, because of the radiation that came from them. Well, first you have uranium. And from that uranium, when it loses three helium atoms, it comes into radium. And that's basically what she was working with. But there were still interesting studies on that. The interesting thing about uranium is that no new uranium is being created. It instantly has been made and came into being. And even scientists make some statements about this. It shows that there is no past eternity of matter by that one element of uranium and radium that comes from that. There's also other elements that are radioactive, like thorium. Gradually, over a period of years, the radioactive material disintegrates and it turns into lead. Great news for all of us gun enthusiasts, but we see by the decay of this element that uranium could not have evolved. Uranium had to be created at some time. The creation of uranium demands a maker or creator of it. I think this is a very unique element. And by the characteristics of uranium, science has concluded and come up with this, that matter came into existence at some time. It had to be created. A logical, rational thought that shows that God does exist and that he created this earth. Creation, then, the very existence of things absolutely demands and requires a creator. The existence of God. That which is made requires a maker. That which is produced requires a producer. A producer. Let's go on to point number five. Like can only produce like. Dogs can only produce dogs. Cats can only produce cats. Humans can only produce humans. Yeah, there's quite a variety of life that we have here. One of my daughters had a Great Dane. Another one has a little Welsh Corgi. Just quite a difference in the creation that is there, a variety of life. Scientists have tried to break these laws, this principle that life can only produce like. Like can only produce like. Scientists have tried to break these laws that are in existence, but like species can only produce like species. God gives us instruction on his creation. Let's look here at Genesis 1 and verse 24. Genesis 1 and verse 24. We see this happens on the earth. So now we can see that when God says something that is true and relates to the laws that are in existence, we can see that it is a creator that has made it. Genesis 1 and verse 24, and God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind." Not a myriad of different kinds. Cattle and creeping thing and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was still, and it was so. And I might add to this verse, it still is. It hasn't changed. Like can only produce like. An animal, a cow, can only produce another cow, and it continues to be so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind. You may say that God is establishing a law here, and everything that creeps upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Never has one kind produced another kind. Isn't that true, Sandra Wilhelm? A human being can only produce another human being. I would say that Heather Wilhelm would confirm that also, as well as anyone who has been a parent, who have had pets. Like can only produce like. No matter what man has done by selective breeding or mutation, like produces like. Because of this, we see that the laws have been put into effect to make this so. Laws demand a lawgiver. I demand a lawgiver. With this in mind, we can see that life did not start from a swamp and develop critters that came out of this swamp to develop into various kinds. This is a fallacy and goes against what we have just read here in Genesis 1, 24 and 25. With like, producing like, we can say that there had to be an architect. Someone had to design us, had to design all of the animals, all of the creation that we see in Genesis 1, 24 and 25. There had to be an architect who planned all of this out, just like the man who is going to make a watch. He had to sit down and think about all of the springs, all of the wheels, all of the cogs, the face on that watch, the backing. What kind of material will I make? The Creator thought that about you. You. Whether you're an elderly person, whether you're a youth, a young people, God has thought all of this out and planned it out. And furthermore, he is sustaining this law to continue to have like produce like. Let's go on to point number 6. I like this one the best. In fact, I was talking with someone last night, and this point really stuck in my mind as to knowing that God does exist. Point number 6 is life is interdependent. We talked on some of the points of this, but life is interdependent. With the millions of trees, plants, fishes, animals, birds, all are dependent on one another. We as humans need plants to produce oxygen. We need it. We need that. We produce CO2. The plants need this CO2 to survive. Interdependent on one another demands a creator to have made that and designed it. We are interdependent on one another. In understanding this, may say, what was created first? Well, you can read through Genesis 1 and see what was made first. All of this had to be made, in my mind, in a relatively close proximity of time. Let's go back to Genesis 1. Genesis 1 and verse 26. I'm so thankful that God has given us his Bible, that we can look back and see the basic beginnings of it. And God gives us just enough information that we should be able to see by the creation of this earth, be able to think through it and understand and see that He has made it. And He is the designer. He is the architect. Genesis 1 and verse 26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over that fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, all that was created, over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created man in His own image, and in the image of God created He him, male and female, created them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful. Your kind is going to produce the same kind. This cow over here is going to produce the same kind. The fishes will produce the same kind. Nothing different. Nothing out of the ordinary." And all of these together rely upon one another. Interdependent on one another. And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, every tree that which is in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, something to eat, and every beast of the earth, to every fowl of the air, to everything that creeps on the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for food, for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good." And I'll just interject here. Not only was it good, all of this creation is interdependent upon one another. Brethren, nothing lives or dies to itself. We are all interdependent on one another. Did the bee live for millions of years before the flowers were created? No, they would have died. Now, this question sometimes comes up in the scientific field. And this simple question is, and scientists have never been able to answer this, but you can. You and your youth can even. What came first, the chicken or the egg? The Bible gives the answer. It's a chicken. And then the egg followed from there. So this interdependency requires a creator that makes all of the creation to be made in a very short period of time. All of the creation is interdependent on one another. You can't just put man on the earth with no food, without animals, without food to eat. We're all interdependent on one another. Nothing lives or dies to itself. Each living thing, whether plant or animal, when it dies, supplies further life for other living things. You know, we see artificial fertilizer put on the ground. When I was a kid, I was growing up, we had cattle, chickens, pigs, which we didn't have the latter one there. But we took all that fertilizer, put on the land, and the crops that grew were phenomenal. It's the way it should be. So when something dies, it supplies further life for living things. When you look at a forest, if you're walking through one here in the near future, and you see a tree that grows up, and some die, and they finally fall over, only to be a part of the ground. That tree, it supplies wonderful life by the seeds that fall. And it has wonderful life-giving elements for the growing young trees which it had sown in its lifetime, and by it falling to the ground and breaking down gives sustenance to the new trees that come. So the Bible starts out in Genesis 1 with these verses. Genesis 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, and this is really the title of this book of Genesis, in the beginning, God created it had to have happened. We saw six principles that show that God does exist. Rationally, we can see this and think through it. So now we can go on to the Bible and see what else God has for us. He does exist. What can we do from here? The word created is the Hebrew word bara, and means that God brought into being. You know, in some ways, that's too simple. God brought all of this into being, in existence. He was the outside source of energy to give life to matter. The God family, composed of God the Father and the Word, after planning and designing, initiated a creation of physical matter. They sat down, I'm sure, and planned it out. They wanted to make sure they had a good watch, a good human being. They wanted a good watch, not a sundial. And they want something good in you. So they initiated a creation of physical matter. It is a creation that is governed by laws that maintain it and keep it going, keep it in existence. Not only were these laws established by a constant vigil on the functioning of this earth, which is done by the Father and the Word, they keep these things going. And I was talking to the other day, was saying, you know, it's not like God had these spinning plates. You've probably seen this, where a guy will have all these sticks, and he gets his plate spinning, and he goes to the next one, puts the plate on there, and he gets it spinning, and the next one, and the next one. Whoops, I got to get back here to the first one. God does not work that way. He has everything under control and sustains it all by his laws. This physical earth has an origination that is spirit. I think this is kind of the key dilemma that science can't figure out, God's spirit. All of the earth has been made from something that is not of this earth. It has been made from spirit. And how would we figure that out? Let's look at our Bible, Hebrews 11, verse 3, and we can confirm it by looking at the creation. Hebrews 11 and verse 3. Through faith, if you follow along with me, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, this faith that is here in Hebrews 11 and verse 3, it's not a blind faith. We've gone through 6 points that shows that we can have faith that there is a creator, because we can see that there are little literal, reasonable, figurable facts and laws that show that God has created the heavens and the earth. Another scripture to verify this, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 18. Paul tells us here, while we look not at the things which are seen, yes, those physical things, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, something in the future, something that is spiritual, for the things which are seen are temporal. Temporary, physical, life is temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal, those spiritual things. All matter can revert back to spirit. It came from spirit, made physical. It can go back from physical to spiritual. God tells us that there is a spiritual realm, and that it is not able to be seen by man, and we know that it is so by what we experience. We also realize that what we do, what we see, the physical, does not last forever. I'll go back to this first verse that I read. Reinforces all that we've gone through today, these 6 points. Does God exist? Romans 1 and verse 20. For the invisible things of Him, of God, of Jesus Christ, from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Clearly seen, can be thought of, can be rationalized, and understood by the things that are made. Physical things, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. All of the creation demands a creator. It demands it. And by the things that are made, we can see this. It cannot be denied. I hope that you can see that this creation is so intricate, so magnificently, I didn't say that right, but you understand what I meant, uniquely made and balanced. Balanced that we are then drawn to God's instruction, that Bible for mankind, to learn why we exist. What is our purpose? We are so awed by what is made. We went over these 6 principles. Life cannot come from dead matter. The miracle of living food had to be made with us. Life demands the existence of laws. Matter proves God's existence. Like can only produce like. Life is interdependent. We see in all of these, all of them, and I'm sure there's many more we could look at, creation is the proof of God's existence. The proof of God's existence. By these we know that God exists.